Well, by now, boys and girls, you should be able to tell how many petitions are in the Lord's Prayer. So how many are there? Because, of course, we've been receiving the catechism instruction for week after week after week with our pastor. And he's been dealing with the Lord's Prayer for 3 Sundays. The Lord's Prayer for 3 Sundays. So I already gave you half of the answer. 3 petitions he's dealt with. So there's 3 left. So there's a total of how many petitions? 6. 3 plus 3 equals 6. And of course, I trust also, as you reviewed with us last week, that the first 3 are God-centered, God-focused. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Last Sunday evening, thy will be done. And now if you look at the 4th petition, it moves from God to you and me, which already indicates to us that God wants to be sought after and acknowledged and will certainly provide all our needs. And as a result, the first one that we bring back to him is, give us this day our daily bread. But notice it's not give me, it's give us, it's plural. So the Lord is preventing this selfish me idea. And he's teaching us that even in the Lord's Prayer, we must be thinking about others as God has thought about us. And then, of course, Lord willing, if we're spared next week, we will look at another petition that relates to us, but also what we need again from God. Forgive us our sins, or forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And then followed by what? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. They're the next 3 petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. But again, requesting it from God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Again, relating to us, but receiving it from God. And finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, addressing God and asking him for the grace to rescue us when we are ensnared and tempted. So, with God's help, we're going to look at the first of the last 3 petitions. And so we have for this evening, give us this day our daily bread. Well, boys and girls, I'm sure that you, as well as myself, have always enjoyed the story about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. It's interesting to note, as we look at these verses and then draw some applications out of this particular question, it's interesting to note that Elijah is first talking with Ahab. Verse 1, look at verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now this conversation that Elijah has with Ahab is after he has repented. Remember, prior to this time, he was the one that was accusing Elijah of being the big troublemaker in Israel. And he had sent out his servants, and he had sent out the message that whoever finds Elijah, bring him to me so he can be put to death. And yet now in verse 1, we have this encounter. Elijah said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah didn't fear Ahab. Elijah brings him this message that for 3 years and 6 months, the Lord will shut up the heavens. There won't be any rain. And historians inform us that during that time, basically, almost literally, everything died. The trees with the leaves shriveled up and dropped off. There was no way that things could exist, and still today, there's no way that things can exist without water, including ourselves. But notice already, as our first point is, God's gracious provisions. And our second thought, God graciously acknowledged. And 30, God humbly trusted. All those points are found right in this chapter, in 1 Kings 17. Because what happens after that situation that Elijah speaks with Ahab? And the word of the Lord came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, isn't it so beautiful that God's children, God's servant, have a Lord that communicates with them? That's something that you as an ungodly person cannot fathom, don't appreciate, because you know nothing about it. But what a joy it is for the children of God when it says here, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Now what does the Lord say? Elijah has just made Ahab aware of the fact that there's not going to be rain for 3 years and 6 months. You can read about that in James 5:17. That's where it tells us about 3 years and 6 months. But now God is going to graciously provide for Elijah. Everything that Elijah needs as a child of God is taken care of. Get thee hence, verse 3, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's God's provision. And what is the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 125 tell us? With regard to give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Well, that's exactly what we're finding in the Bible. God's provision. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Faith in God's word is what we see exercised by Elijah. Faith in God's word. And obedience reaps a rich reward. Because look at what it says in verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth. Remember, the Lord told him to go hide there. And that is before Jordan. And then it says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Obedience to God's command, faith in God's word, reaps a rich reward. Elijah was finding out exactly what our Heidelberg Catechism instructors have written here, that in terms of giving this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That's exactly what the Lord was doing. Very simple, and yet so wonderful. Providing Elijah with the fulfillment of his own word, as we mentioned in prayer for our pastor, their bread shall be given them. Their water shall be sure. But then something happened, boys and girls. Something terrible happened. The drought that Elijah had told Ahab was going to occur did indeed occur. sitting by the brook day after day and having the birds fly in and give him bread and flesh and drinking out of the brook was certainly a wonderful and gracious provision of the Lord. But there came that day that he couldn't put his hands down into the brook anymore because it was nothing but sand and silt. And the birds didn't come anymore. That was finished. It all dried up. Now what? And maybe you in your lives and we as family in our lives have been through those times or are going through those times so that we say, now what? What are we going to do now? I don't even have enough money to pay the bills. How is it all going to work out? Faith in the Lord. And I need it as much as anybody else does as we travel through this life. We need faith in God's provision. We need to be met with how God provided for Elijah. The brook dried up. Nothing but dust and silt and sand in his hands. No doubt he couldn't even squeeze any water out of the sand and silt. And the birds never came flying in again. But what's so amazing about God's provision? And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, you know, it is a simple story, isn't it? And yet it's profound. Because now, again, the Lord proves himself to be faithful, covenant-keeping God for his people. He proves himself to be the one who will graciously provide. He proves what our Heidelberg Catechism is saying here, that he is pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Elijah's existence was realized by the ravens that brought the bread and the flesh, morning and evening, and the water that he drank. But now with it gone, the Lord says, okay, Elijah, it's time for you to move on. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to exist for tomorrow? Oh, listen. Arise. And get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Again, what do we find? We find Elijah is commanded to do what God says. And we find again, obedience reaps a rich reward. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. How selfish, Elijah. How selfish. You just ran out of water by the brook. And now you're asking this woman who's gathering these two sticks to first give you a drink of water? Elijah, you're quite selfish and self-centered. That's what it almost seems like. And yet, God, faith, again, trusts what God says. And faith is exercised at this moment to make this humble request to this woman, not because you want to be a me first, but because God was directing him to also show that he will graciously provide for this woman. And that the testimony of Elijah and the faithfulness of Elijah to God was not only Elijah's portion, but also the widow of Zarephath. Telling us about the multiplicity that there is in God to be able to provide for all our needs, not just Elijah and not just the widow of Zarephath, but for all our needs. Because you see, boys and girls, when it says here, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't only mean the bread that we have, and the jam that you may be able to put on it, or the meat. But it refers to all the things that we have need of, from day to day. So, therefore, You have need of a vehicle. Well, give me a BMO. I want a BMW. No, no, no. We need a vehicle. Lord, give me a suitable vehicle that's going to serve the purpose for which we use it. You need a house. Oh, give me a mansion, Lord. No, no, no. Pray for a house that will fit your needs and that you may live in and humbly serve the Lord. But I need a job that makes me more money. Well, you may indeed have financial challenges. You may lay before the Lord, give me an employment that will provide for all our needs. Not necessarily provide so that I can make abundance. And if you make abundance, may your spirit be to be able to give it for the cause of God's kingdom. Give us this day our daily bread. Includes giving us strength for everyday activity that's lawful, not sinful. Give us this day our daily bread. Includes everything that you and I as human beings need to exist before the Lord, to seek after the Lord, to be saved by the Lord, and to serve the Lord. That's what it comes down to. But you know, if we're not born again, then it is the me, myself, and I first. Isn't it? Isn't it? Those of you that are not yet born again, I think there's an echo from you tonight. You're thinking first about myself. But you're not turning with everything that you have of self, recognizing the Lord must provide. And He will graciously provide. When you acknowledge Him in all your ways. That's what Elijah realized, didn't he? As well as the widow of Zarephath. So he asked for a drink. And what does she say? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her. What does he say furthermore? He called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Boy, Elijah, you're stretching it quite far, don't you think? You're going beyond the limit, recognizing that you don't even realize that this woman is able to do that. He doesn't even approach her from the angle, "Is it possible that I could have some water? Is it possible that you have just a little bit of bread left that for sure make sure there's enough for yourself, but if there's a little crumb left for me?" No, you see, what was happening here is God was setting the stage, as we already said, to prove to this widow and her son, He's a God who will graciously provide. And when He is sought after, He will not fail any who acknowledge Him and humbly trust Him. So what do we have? And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse." Oh, how truthful and forthright. There was no pride in this woman's heart. She didn't try to muster together something that she didn't have. She told it like it was. "I don't have a piece of bread. I have a little meal, boys and girls. I have a little oil in this little cruse here. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it together and I'm going to make the last loaf, the last cake, and for my son and I. That's why I'm gathering these sticks to build a fire so I can cook and I can bake yet our last meal. And then we figure it's going to all be over. We're going to die." See, what God was going to teach her is exactly what we read, that He is pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, but through the way that from a human perspective seems impossible. Why? Why impossible? What's the last verse of the chapter say? Verse 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. She came to humbly trust the same God that Elijah trusted, even through the circumstances of having just this little cruse of oil and a little meal. And so it goes on. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's what faith says. That's what faith says. And now what are our instructors aiming at? What is the Lord Jesus Christ aiming at when he says to his disciples, when he teaches them to pray, give us this day our daily bread? He's telling them to live by faith upon his word. He's teaching us, dear children of God, that we may bring everything to him as the first two psalters that we've sung tonight have spelled out. And that we may, in acknowledging him and telling what our needs are, he will not only graciously provide, but we will also humbly trust him and learn in the process. All that I need comes from God, who is the fountain of all good. That's what the answer says here. And here we have Elijah, we have the widow of Zarephath and her son being told by Elijah, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. What a faithful witness he was. Here's a man of God, living by faith, living upon the provisions on a daily basis from God, on a daily basis, boys and girls. Because he drank out of the brook every day. And morning and evening, the ravens brought him bread and flesh. He was living exactly what Jesus taught his disciples centuries later. He was living it already. He was giving Elijah his daily bread. And now he says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. God's gracious provision. But we see here also, God graciously acknowledged. Elijah sets before the widow and her son the Lord. So we have our second point right in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. God graciously acknowledged. Now what do we have here? In the second part, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, not even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. What do we have here in verse 14? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of oil, meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He's acknowledged as a fountain of good. And until that rain comes down, this widow and her son and Elijah and the church of the living God to this day will receive what she needs. But where comes the conflict? And what trouble and how do we get ourselves into trouble? And I'm including myself in it. We look at the circumstances and we say, oh no, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to make ends meet here? What do we have to do? And so often, as we've heard in the past, as I heard when I was growing up as a little boy, God is the best, but we save him for last. Because we're so inclined to fail to see how God, in his word, over and over again, by his promises, their bread shall be given them, their water shall be sure, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We fail to recognize the Word of God. And in the process, because we fail to recognize it, we don't honor the Word of God. And we run stuck. We run stuck. We forget about the story of Elijah, the widow and her son. And we take measures into our own hands to resolve our own issues. That doesn't mean that we got to sit back and not be diligent and just sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I'm a stoic. I'm a person. So, well, if the Lord provides, well, he'll provide. And I'm going to just sit in this chair here and I have to go out and do what I'm supposed to do. No, the Lord's not going to provide that way. He'll provide for those who are diligent. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall not stand before mean men, but before kings, you read in Proverbs. And so we have the responsibility of our everyday callings to carry them out. But every single one of us, because we have sinned, have to face the consequences of our sins, our own wretched unbelief, whereby we discredit God, we forget his word, and we run ourselves stuck. Until we get pinched so much that we're made to fall on our knees and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, God, wilt thou provide? And here we see it with Elijah. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went. Obedience. The blessing of obedience and the outcome of obedience, a rich reward. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. What strength for our faith, dear children of God, according to the word of the Lord. So what should we do first when we run into troubles and have shortages or challenges or setbacks in our lives or we're pinched because of need? The first thing we should do is get down on our knees as individuals and as family. Lord, wilt thou provide? Acknowledge with it that we're not deserving of it because of our sins. But the Lord will graciously provide. He will provide for those who acknowledge him and humbly trust him. Look, that's what Elijah was doing. And that's what the woman does in verse 15 and 16. She went and did according to the word, according to the saying of Elijah. So it was all smooth sailing after that. No. Faith gets tested, congregation. You may have received your provision for yesterday, and we have certainly for today. But faith doesn't live by sight. Faith lives upon the Word of God. Faith anchors in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not only for redemption, for salvation, but let us never forget that Jesus Christ has merited for his church every provision that they need, and he will graciously provide it. Look what he did with the 5,000. He fed them with but a little bit, and none of them complained. You say, but yeah, it was a miracle. Oh, it was. To show his power, to show his compassion, to prove his provision, and to make us trust him at all times. And that's really what our instructor is saying here in the last part, isn't he? Not only will our gifts and our care and our industry not profit us without God's blessing, but furthermore, we are called to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. So, what do we have here in our chapter for tonight? Verse 17, a hardship arose. A sick son. They've had bread. They've had water. They've had what they needed day after day after day. Bang! All of a sudden, something else comes. Why did God do that? Well, it says nothing about the fact that Elijah nor this woman didn't trust God. But God does these things for His own purposes, to show forth His wisdom, to prove our faith, and to make us realize that with another trial, we may commit that to Him also. Our daily cares, whatever they are. And this was more than just a daily care. This was a death of her only son. A great loss. And then, He's acknowledged as the only fountain of all good. Elijah comes along as a man of God and tells her that the cruse of oil shall not fail and the barrel of meal shall not waste until the rain comes. And she lives out of that abundance and according to the word of the Lord. And then this. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died, boys and girls. The boy died. Her only earthly possession that gave her some earthly comfort and could provide her with somebody to whom she could show her affection and who had together with her and Elijah seen how the Lord, the God of Elijah, had provided in a miraculous way. And now this. So, you know, it's almost understandable that she would come to Elijah and say, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" You see, there's a measure of heart rebellion here. There's lack of faith here. Provision has been provided. God has been graciously acknowledged. And He was humbly trusted because He provided for her. And now all of a sudden, faith is tested. And she falls into the ditch of unbelief, and is ready now to accuse Elijah. Oh, the wretchedness of our sinful hearts. In Psalm 4, David says in verse 6, "Who will show us any good? Who will show us any good?" But then he follows right afterwards. "Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." Who would show this woman any good? The same God who had provided the water and the meal and all that was needed every day is the same God to whom this woman is going to have to make a 180 and come back to and find out that in this great loss, this heart-wrenching situation, the Lord would not fail her either. And He would prove to be one who graciously provides as the Son comes back to life. And He would be the one that this woman graciously acknowledges. he would be the one that this woman trusts. So the boy is dead, boys and girls. And what a sad thing. And what does the man of God do? He takes that child, as we find it here. He says, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. And he laid him upon his own bed. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. And when we approach God using this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," there's four ways in which we must approach him. First, we must approach him with holy faith. Pray with holy faith. Pray believing. And that's not easy. Children of God, it's not easy for you and I. And an unbeliever, it's impossible. Unless the Lord at that moment indicts that prayer in your heart. So you're ready to conclude, then I guess I better not pray. No, because you don't know when the Lord is going to indict that prayer in your heart of holy faith. And therefore we must pray, not only without ceasing, but we must pray in obedience to Jesus' command. "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open." Pray in holy faith. Secondly, pray with holy reverence. O Lord, my God, he exalts, he reveres not only Jehovah, O Lord, but my God, Elohim, the Almighty One, the One who can do the impossible. He reverently addresses him with holy submission, holy submission, surrendering, submitting the situation, your circumstances to the Lord. Here is a woman who's lost her son. Here is a woman who, if God did not intervene, may come out having hard thoughts of God. But old Elijah prays with holy faith. He prays with holy reverence. He prays with holy submission. And he prays, fourthly, with holy purpose. Holy faith, holy reverence, holy submission, and holy purpose. And it's all found here. "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And what happened? And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. You may at present be pinched. You may have great needs in a temporal way, because this particular petition deals with temporal things. But you may also have spiritual needs. And here we have the evidences that in turning to the Lord with our spiritual need, with our temporal need, God will provide. By acknowledging Him, He will provide. By humbly trusting Him, He will provide. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." She had faith, not in Elijah, but in the word of the Lord that came from Elijah's lips. She saw God's gracious provision. She acknowledged it here in verse 24. and she humbly trusts him. Not Elijah. Because it says, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. That's faith. She credited the word of the Lord. She said it's true. And when we come to before the Lord with our needs when we go home, and even before, and we come before the Lord tomorrow, congregation, with our needs, because each day we're presented with a new set of needs, let us not fail to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. That's exactly what this woman did at the end of this chapter. She acknowledged that God was the only fountain of good. As she saw his provisions throughout, along with Elijah, and now at the end, with her son revived, he was the fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. She learned here that it was to God, the word of the Lord, that the blessing of life came. But it didn't go without prayer, congregation. It did not go without bringing our needs to the Lord, temporally and spiritually. You know why we so often fail? You know why we so often get pinched and come up short? There can be several reasons. It can be like James says in James 4 verse 3, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. We ask, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. So that we can just have it for our own fleshly lusts. To maybe have life a little bit easier. Or to do things that would not honor God. And we come up short. But it could also be that we don't receive. Because our life and our heart is not right with God. And yet we have sung that the Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works, Psalm 145. And he indeed, as he cares for the sparrows, and as he causes the lilies to grow, as we will soon see in the field, Lord willing, are we not of much more value than the sparrows? Will he not provide for us, for you? He certainly will. But then sometimes we want to write exactly how we want the Lord to provide. That's not humbly trusting him. That's telling the Lord the way I want it. As if the Lord's going to come behind us and say, okay, the way you want it, that's the way I'll give it to you. No. Because you see, faith is such that it lives upon God. It lives upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, not only, as we've said already, for salvation, for redemption and salvation, but it lives upon Jesus Christ's finished work, because in that finished work, everything we need will be provided. And what text proves it? I believe I said it in prayer, or I said it in the sermon. Philippians 3:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, in heaven, by Christ Jesus. He will provide the need for our soul. He will provide the needs of our body. Will we in this week be the recipients of what Elijah and the widow experienced? A son brought back to life. Oh, you say, I hope I don't lose our son. But oh, a son brought back to spiritual life. Oh, what a joy that would be. A daughter brought back to spiritual life who's dead spiritually. A son and a daughter. Or a friend coming to realize that Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father provides salvation freely for sinners. But He will also provide what we need for each and every day. God will graciously provide when He's graciously acknowledged and humbly trusted. Amen.